It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security.
Welcome to the American Outlaw Talk Radio Network. This is the National Security Hour, and today, Ed Hoglund, I'm your host. Today we're going to talk about some very critical points that all 2024 presidential candidates, predominantly independent conservatives, and if there are still some conservative Democrats, must take into account for this next election. We are at a precipice in this country, the precipice between good and evil, tyranny and freedom. Today I'm going to talk about three specific aspects and an open letter I have written to the presidential candidates, leveraging my 30, actually now four decades experience in the national security arena, having worked inside the bureaucracy, understanding the bureaucracy, but not just one aspect of the bureaucracy, but across several departments and intelligence community organizations, to include the Department of State, the Department of Energy, the Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, the United States Air Force, the CIA, DIA, NGA, and several other organizations. The open letter I'm going to talk about today, I'll cover first the leftist progressive power grab. I'll touch briefly on what Durham states is the obvious, but why he doesn't act. And then what to do. What to do about what's going on in the bureaucracy of the federal government, what's going on in the power grab by the left, and how to stop it, how to take appropriate action to advance the true republic, the freedoms we have. Because as I said, we are on a precipice between good and evil here in this country. It's not normal politics. It's not politics as normal. This is a blood sport for absolute power being waged by a radical, extremist, leftist, progressive agenda, which uses Orwellian terms and flips fact to fiction and fiction to fact and makes a mockery out of the intelligence of the American public. A mockery so bad that over 80% of Americans now not only think we're on the wrong track, they don't want to have this leftist progressive agenda continue on because I think they see what's happening. And you've heard folks such as Victor David Hansen, Newt Gingrich, Gordon Chang, other folks on this broadcast, other folks on the National Security out here, like General Tom McInerney, General Paul Fadley, Mary Fanny, the two Mikes, and others speak to this. Before I begin, let me go back and redefine the term cognitive warfare for you all. What the importance here is to understand what we're fighting, you have to understand what's going on here in America. And so I define the cognitive war as primarily an ideological war between tyranny and freedom, control and independence, subjugation or democracy. It is a war fought primarily in the cognitive domain, the domain of the human mind, using various means to influence and various ways to drive that influence. The ways that are used are ideology, and predominantly socialist ideology, fascist ideology, but the ways also include religion, and the ways also include specific issues. Issues such as transgenderism, as we've seen today. The means by which those who seek to upset our power base and what's going on here in America, the means by which they take these actions, they can be academic, can be economic, can be agricultural, social, political, even the justice systems, as we've seen. The cognitive war is as timeless as mankind exists because in its most simple form, it is a war between good and evil. And herein lies the real real picture that the candidates need to understand. We can win this war against evil, but first you have to acknowledge it is such a war. Right now, I don't think most politicians really fully understand that. The leading candidates for the Republicans' nomination, DeSantis, Donald Trump, I don't think fully understand or can comprehend this. So let me go back and talk a little bit about my background and some past experience here, okay? Because it's important for people to understand is that with the 4 decades I served in national security arena, both as a government employee, as a contractor, and as an independent consultant, working across all those different organizations I mentioned, I got to see a variety of different insights that others did not. Including in this is my being selected for and serving as the first Assistant Inspector General for Inspections for the Intelligence Community Inspector General. I was a whistleblower at that time. And as an independent inspector general, I could tell you there is no such thing as a whistleblower protection act. It is suicidal. It is suicide by nature unless you're willing to resign your position, give up your career and job, because that's what happens to those whistleblowers, as we're seeing now currently with the whistleblowers coming out of the FBI and other places in the IRS regarding Hunter Biden, regarding the corruption within the Federal Bureau of Investigation, which I now refer to as the Fascist Bureau of Intimidation. What the candidates need to understand that this is not normal politics is because there's a variety of different actions and efforts have been ongoing for a long time here in America. We've seen them. I won't repeat them all, but you've seen the 2016 election interference before the election and then the soft coup after the election. We've seen the 2 false Stalinist Chertow impeachments. We've seen the weaponization of the Justice Department against the people. Now, the threat that we face is so pervasive and so large in this ongoing cognitive warfare. This is a domestic cognitive war. It's also taking place globally. We're going to focus today predominantly on the domestic cognitive war in this letter, open letter to the candidates. One aspect people need to understand is, and the reason I don't think the candidates fully understand this right now, is because there's a normal psychological reaction by people when they see such evil. It's called the polyvagal theory. I've discussed this before on this show and others. The polyvagal theory explains this reaction in that the theory covers 3 states: connection, fight, or flight, or shutdown. So what most people do in a normal psychological moment when they see such horrors on a continued basis, they shut down. Very few fight or flee, okay? And this explains what's happening today in America. But there's a variety of means and methods that they've used, okay, as I've talked about. They've weaponized their national security. We've seen a variety of those different aspects going on. We see the continued invasion and slaughter of Americans, over 100,000 dead each year from fentanyl overdoses. Yet the administration, the far left, does nothing. Why? Because in a quest for absolute power, you, American citizens, are viewed as necessary collateral damage. Now, I'm an old Soviet studies guy, and I've dealt a lot of things in the Cold War. But over the last 70 plus years, over 130 plus million people have been murdered, tortured, imprisoned. For what? In the name of absolute power. By Chinese communists, by Nazi fascists, by socialists. And so what you're seeing here in America today is the same thing, is they allow open borders and people to flood the gates of our country to try to input into this country a whole new set of dependents, dependent voters, uneducated voters for the most part. Why? Because it's more easy to manipulate, more easy to control. They've undertaken a purposeful campaign of terror against this country, starting with the 2016 election. Before that, the summer of love, where there's anarchy, chaos, looting, followed by defund the police, followed by the massive resignations and movement of police out of police departments across multiple states. And if you think you progressives, the Democrats, you think the progressives care about you, think again. What do you think the biggest crime rates, the highest crime rates, like the District of Crime, the former District of Columbia and such, are? They're in progressive liberal cities. San Francisco's become an asshole. Same thing with many progressive cities in California, in Oregon, Washington State, Baltimore, for example, out here in Maryland. It is a purposeful campaign of terror. Why? Because in the polyvagal theory, they understand that when people hate confrontation, they will shut down when confronted with such evils. So the chaos and tyranny are purposeful. They're also destroying our civil and constitutional rights. You saw their attempts once they got a taste of that power and advanced it under the COVID-19 or China flu lockdowns. You've seen it when they take the January 6th prisoners and they put them away without allowing them the access to lawyers to exercise their civil liberties and constitutional rights. You've seen this campaign of terror continue on by as they destroy our economic and energy independence here across America while they push a variety of different economic benefits and stuff to who? China. We still haven't fixed our supply chain. And then we take a look at education and indoctrination in this ongoing domestic cognitive war. And it's important I'm giving this background because I have to highlight this isn't normal politics. Any one of these things by themselves would cause massive headaches in normal political times. But the left progressive have now usurped power of the Democratic Party, and they're going to be loath to give it up. And in education indoctrination, it wasn't explained any better than Terry McAuliffe saying parents have no right or say in what their kids are being educated. As we've seen S&M show, like drag queen shows, pushing as transgenderism. I talked about it in a previous program, a 0.3 percentile of the population who is truly has a neurological mental affliction, and how the left has taken and appropriated this to pervert that illness into a social cause to try to normalize sexual deviancy, perversion, and the rape of children by pedophiles. It's truly sickening. But people have to be understand and aware of what's happening here. Now, if any one of these things happened by themselves, it'd be, okay, maybe just a mere example, a mere coincidence. All these things are happening concurrently over the last 8 to 12 years in a more direct manner than ever before. Antifa is on speed dial. The radical left has their own armies on speed dial with Antifa and the BLM activists, all of which we've seen are complete phonies. We've seen them arrested and charged, but very few, far too few. And all this while the silent majority continues to not speak out. We must become the vocal majority here. And we need presidential candidates who can do that. Because as I began this broadcast, you, American people, are viewed as necessary collateral damage. Make no mistake. If these blatant acts of violence and intimidation do not work, the far left would undertake even more extreme measures to purposely destroy you. This is an undeclared war of terror by the radical leftist extremists. And here we see just in the recent budget battles how they take a budgetary effort to just flood the economy with dollars, which drives inflation at the same time driving taxes. And as Lenin said, taxes and inflation are the key to crippling and destroying the middle class or the bourgeois. And that's where the leftist power grab is going. Now, it hasn't been taking place just over the last 8 to 12 years. It's been going on over the last 5 to 6 decades. Ever since the 1950s into the 60s when the Civil Rights Act was passed over the objections of the Democratic Slave Party, over the objections of the Democrats who founded the KKK, over the objections of the Democrats who then their President Johnson acquiesced, albeit racist as he was, acquiesced because the Republican majority is going to push it through regardless. So as we take a look at what's happening here in America, this power grab is purposeful and it's been ongoing for decades. Coming from inside the intelligence community, I warned many conservatives and independents over my 30 plus years directly in the intelligence community itself, and then the other consulting positions I had. I warned them that in 2016, if we didn't overhaul the national security apparatus, then we may never have another conservative in the White House ever again. Why? Because I knew the threat was real, because I watched how they played the game for 30 plus years in undermining conservative administrations purposely, using the CIA to conduct soft coups against specific individuals and leaders. And now you've seen it come out blatantly in the open in terms of the attacks using our justice system on everyday Americans, calling parents domestic terrorists. So 2024 presidential candidates, listen up, because when I come back from break, I'm going to talk about Durham for a brief second, about why I didn't act, and then I'm going to go into some of the specific solutions and recommendations I have for the candidates. The American Out Loud Talk Radio plays on iHeartRadio Network. You can also hear us on Media Player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best-in-class applications available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where we stream 24/7. And now you can also hear them on podcasts such as on the same apps. Just go to AmericaOutloud.com. That's AmericaOutloud.com. We'll be right back.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited-time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait. We wash our nose? Yes. The number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Welcome back to the NASA Security Hour. I'm Ed Hoagland, your host for today. And today I'm talking about an open letter I've written to the presidential candidates for 2024. Treason, traitors, and tyranny. Do not repeat the same mistakes of the past. So before I go in and talk about Durham some, let me give you a little bit of background and insight in terms of my four decades in the national security arena. When the Department of Homeland Security was stood up, it was neutered by a soft coup by those at the Central Intelligence Agency because they didn't want to deploy a couple hundred analysts over to the Department of Homeland Security. So at that time, George Tenet then stood up a Terrorist Threat Integration Center, TTIC, run by whom? John Brennan. That's a name familiar to you all, right? John Brennan. So John Brennan ran the TTIC. Now, the whole purpose of the TTIC was to avoid the CIA losing analysts. But in doing so, basically, it neutered the Homeland Security. Years later, when Director Porter Goss came to the CIA, I was leading strategic planning for the agency at the time. I warned Porter Goss that he needed to come in and take some dramatic actions, given the legacy of that organization and undermining conservatives. He actually mentioned that John McCain said he should go in and overhaul the whole agency and clean house. And I said, well, that's probably a good thing. However, he suggested that he's going to try a different manner. I said, well, beware. Nonetheless, he continued on. And he was played. He was played in another soft coup by the CIA, in which they used those 200 analysts and finally moved them over to the Department of Homeland Security under the new National Counterterrorism Threat Center. And with that, maintain control of their individuals in the NCTC. But Porter Goss fought that because he was misled by those inside, and it was a setup. So they could put Elmer Fudd, aka General Michael Hayden, in charge of CIA. Now, remember, Michael Hayden, the director of CIA before that, what was he? He was a principal deputy director of national intelligence. That's, in fact, how he got his fourth star as a general, becoming the principal deputy director of national intelligence. But you never hear him talk about that. Why? Because he hated that job. He hated that job. He never wanted that job. What he wanted to be was CIA director. And so with the likes of Brennan and others, can't prove this outright, but they did a soft coup and got rid of Porter Goss and put Elmer Fudd in place. What did that get you? Not much. And then, of course, in 2016, we've seen the other soft coup with Brennan, Clapper, Comey, and others using the dossier. So this has been going on for decades. And so for all you presidential candidates out there, you need to understand this, because when Trump came into office in 2016, I tried like hell to inform the different constituents there of what was going on with the dossier and the efforts underneath this soft coup. But people still looked at me like I had four eyes. It wasn't until almost the end of the Trump administration that realized not only did they have the election interference by Hillary and the dossier pre-election, but post-election, they had the insurance card played by Peggy Strzok, representatives of the FBI, OD9, CIA, and others. The Trump administration and people in it were played like a fiddle. They were neutered from the outset, and they got a hell of a lot done despite that. But the purpose of this open letter is to advise you candidates of some things you must take into consideration, lest you have the same thing happen to you like you had in the Trump administration. And to be honest, I don't think Donald Trump learned much. I like him as a candidate. I liked him as his ability to lead. I liked him at the way he got things done. But he has a level of hubris, naivety, and narcissism that precludes recognizing the fact that going in and just changing a few people, putting different people in places, ain't going to change the farm, ain't going to change the factory. The national security effort has been weaponized against the United States. And just changing a few desks, a few people, a few organization buckets, I'm sorry, it's just not going to cut it. And although General Michael Flynn didn't deserve what happened to him, he was also played like a fiddle, in my opinion. And Trump wants to bring him back. So why would you bring back people who were played like a fiddle and you were played like a fiddle yourself by the leftist bureaucrats? And by the way, you know, Trump had a chance to pull the clearances of Brendan Clapper and those folks, but did not do that to his detriment. And for folks like him and Flynn, they both have an opportunity still to come forth as witnesses and ask that a number of individuals be tried for treason. I'll come back to that here in a second. But the Durham report states a number of obvious aspects of how the corruption took place, but he didn't prosecute. In a previous show, I talked about this in depth, but let me just say briefly here, the reason why is because we have a corrupt justice system. If he prosecutes, those cases will be put aside, not looked at, and the evidence destroyed, in my opinion. The two-tier justice system would continue and will continue with no accountability in that until that change takes place. The Department of Justice, FBI, the intelligence community, the Department of Defense elements, Department of State's elements, and other national security elements were and continue to be weaponized and politicized against we the people. So when Republicans come back in office, Durham is given the roadmap. You're going to have to stop the persecution, and you're going to have to start the prosecution for felonies against we, the people, by the bureaucrats and other folks. So what to do? What do we have to do? Well, there's a lot of things we can do. Let's take a look at some of the laws here, and I'll touch on this in one aspect of my solutions. Under United States Code Title 18, Crimes and Criminal Procedures, Section 2381 speaks about treason, in which it says, whoever owing allegiance to the United States levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason and shall suffer death or be in prison not less than 5 years and possibly fine. Adheres to enemies, giving aid and comfort. Now remember, every one of these public officials took an oath of office to uphold and defend the Constitution. By law, if you abrogate that oath and you're giving aid and abetting enemies, foreign or domestic, as they took their oath, to defend and protect the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And in this case, the evil exists here domestically, and it is an unrestricted war of terror on America. So treason is one potential charge. Rebellion or insurrection. Whoever incites, sets foot on, assists, or engages in a rebellion or insurrection against the authority of the United States shall be fined under this title, or in prison not more than 10 years or both. Seditious conspiracy, section 2384. If two or more persons in any state or territory conspire to put down and overthrow the United States or levy war against them, okay, shall be fined or in prison. Section 2385 of Title U.S. Code, Title 18, advocating overthrow of the government. Whoever knowingly or willfully advocates, abets, advises overthrowing or destroying the United States government therein by force or violence or other with the intent to overthrow or destruct the government, okay, is also fined, imprisoned, etc. And then there's also election interference. Now, when you take a look what happened with the FBI on January 6th, now you know why they're trying to cover up the multiple embedded agents they had there, the provocateurs. Because under this rebellion and insurrection and seditious conspiracy, and advocating to overthrow the government. Every one of these people were involved in some aspect of that. And in my opinion, could be tried for these activities. Because remember, they all took the oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. So if they're doing a setup to purposely stop a recount of the votes, to purposely preclude a recount of the votes, which was going to take place. Okay. That's seditious conspiracy. That's rebellion or insurrection. For you presidential candidates out there, this is not the time, in my opinion. You should not be attacking one another. You should be taking a look at what your positions are, what your policies are, and what your plans are to address this weaponization and unrestricted war on America, and speak to that directly. To hell with the attacks on one another. Focus on what you will do to save the Republic and get us back on track. Focus on what policies you will bring forth and what actions, but don't telegraph everything. Don't telegraph everything. As I give you a few more points here. So what to do? So I have a forthcoming book on cognitive warfare. The book speaks specifically about both the domestic and global cognitive wars, but it gives an overall definition and layout on cognitive warfare, the theory that underlies it, talks about a specific concept of operations, the analytics behind it, and other aspects, and it concludes with a variety of different proposed recommendations and solutions to help fix our bureaucracy and our national security apparatus to ensure that we can actually compete and win in the ongoing cognitive war. But time is precious. And if we do have a 2024 election, which I'm not sure we will, because remember, the left will do anything they can in their power to usurp power, to maintain power, to hold on to power. They have 10,000 plus counting Chinese agents now in the United States. They have thousands of ISIS elements who've crossed the border undetected. They have several million illegal aliens funded in, and many of them controlled by the cartels. So they have massive armies in the United States already, besides what they already have with Antifa. You have a Manchurian president in the White House, in my opinion, one who's compromised fully by China, but also, I think, by Russia. He continually proves it time and again, but people give him the benefit of the doubt that he's just playing politics, leftist politics. It's time to get over that notion. This is a blood sport for absolute power. So I put forth this open letter because time is critical. And there's an old saying, an old principle, the five P's: prior planning prevents P-poor performance. What people need to understand here, because of the short time, because planning has to take place, and over the four decades I've spent in national security, I've seen the same mistakes repeated. So I'm putting forth this open letter and the following suggestions so that the candidates can take a deep look amongst themselves and figure out how we as Americans and conservatives stop this road to tyranny dead in its tracks. Because remember, the bureaucracy lives to protect itself, and its leaders who've embedded like ticks on the host called We America, sucking up the freedom out of our country to feed their growing thirst for power and control by service and support. Remember, every federal employee takes an oath of office to uphold the Constitution and laws, because we are a land of laws. If we have no laws, we are no longer a country. But they take this oath to serve and support. And the majority of the bureaucrats in our U.S. government do. But over the last six decades, the number of ticks living off the host has grown exponentially. The number of ticks that are feasting on the blood of freedom of America to use it to turn the tide against us into tyranny against America has grown. Now those ticks are fat, they're full, and they're pregnant with their lemmings and radical left army elements ready to do more harm. As what we saw from 2016 to 2020 in a soft coup I mentioned beforehand, decades beforehand, is that these ticks will do what they need to do to stake on the host to maintain their blood-sucking thirst for power on the host. And so for you 2024 candidates, you must consider some dramatic actions. Now in the book, Cognitive Warfare, Why We're Losing and How We Can Win, I speak to a number of proposed solutions. We're going to cover a few briefly here. So let me start with the first one. Every candidate, if you do not already have your plan and strategy and team built now, you're already in a losing position. Because remember, what happened in 2016 and 2020 elections and before in terms of Hillary and how they rigged the Democratic National Convention. So this has been going on for some time. And do you think the soft coup, the dossier, the impeachments, all that happened without prior planning? No, the Democrats and the radical progressive lefts understand the principle 5P, prior planning prevents P4 performance. They plan methodically, they execute methodically, they have a strategy, and it's well thought out. While Americans think we're moving towards the next 2024 election, think again. Think back to the 2016 election where every major city was boarded up waiting for the flares from Antifa and stuff to then burn down the United States should Trump be elected. And think in 2024, the same thing. You're going to have to be prepared for an onslaught of radicalism, armies taking to the street to disrupt any conservative administration that's elected. If you don't have your plan and strategy in place and team built now, you are already way behind. When we come back from break, I'll go into the specific solutions that I recommend. I'll cover them more at a macro level. But I hope the candidates for 2024 are listening and hope Americans are well, because our freedom is at stake. The battle between good or evil is taking place now. You can find out more about my show and other great shows on the NAS Security Hour and get all our latest podcasts if you go to the menu bar at America Out Loud under shows or schedule. You see the NAS Security Hour and a slew of other great programs. Follow us and stay engaged. You'll be in the know. I'll be right back.
AmericaOutloud.com. If you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought, working hard to earn your trust for 7 incredible years and counting. America Out Loud Talk Radio, the liberty and justice for all.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Welcome back to the NAS Security Hour. I'm Ed Hoagland, your host today. And today we're talking about a critical topic, an open letter to the candidates for the 2024 presidential election. We are in a battle between good and evil, tyranny and freedom, unlike no other we've seen in the United States. We can go back to 1918 and see somewhat the similar aspects here when the communist revolution took place and the spread of communism here in the United States. You go back to the 1930s with the growth and spread of fascism throughout Germany, but also here in the United States, fascism and communism being two ends of the same circle of tyranny. We could look into the 1960s as the communists tried to spread socialism throughout the world. In the 1960s, the radical demonstrations against the Vietnam War, a war which we won kinetically, but we lost cognitively. As a matter of fact, every war since World War II, we've lost, less the Korean War, which was a truce. Albeit we may have won the kinetic battles, we lost the cognitive battles in every single war. And then in the 80s, with the red balloons and the deployment of ground-loss cruise missiles in Europe, as we went head-to-head with the Soviet Union in the Cold War, and deployment of tactical nuclear weapons. And then from that, we see where we're at today. But during that time, the left learned, the left has played on, and the left continues to focus as to how to overtake power. They have lessons learned. They learn from history. They don't repeat the same mistakes, typically, like conservatives do. So for Donald Trump, for Ron DeSantis, and you other candidates, I hope you're listening. The most critical thing on your plate in the next administration should be to overhaul the national security apparatus. And when I mean overhaul national security apparatus, think of a factory floor and going and wholesaling, cleaning out the factory floor, setting up a whole new factory, retooling everything else, and taking what few parts and pieces that are useful and have utility and putting it back into the new factory floor, the new national security apparatus. And when I talk about the national security apparatus, yes, Department of Justice, but not only Department of Justice and FBI, but the whole intelligence community, the Central Intelligence Agency, the Office of Director of National Intelligence, the rest of the IC agencies. But also in this national security apparatus, the Department of State, Department of Energy, and the other departmental elements of the intelligence community, which are each of the executive branch departments. The importance of overhauling the national security apparatus should be clear as day, should be clear as day right now. These are organizations which have operated in the industrial world, which grew up in the industrial world, and were born in the industrial world, but we're now operating in the information age. The Department of Defense included. Because what we're seeing now across the bureaucracy are these embedded ticks who are sucking the blood of freedom have not only embedded themselves, but they festered like sores, grown and birthed to other layers within the bureaucracy, such that now the embedded level of ticks is such that the host, the American host body, is under severe threat of death. Now, I'll give you a few examples here what I mean by overhauling the national security apparatus. In a forthcoming book, I'll go into a lot more detail, but let me cover a few aspects here. First of all, there should be only one Department of Defense service, not the six or seven that are there now. United States Air Force, United States Army, United States Navy, United States Coast Guard, United States Space Force. Okay. All these elements should be one Department of Defense service. Why? Because they're supposed to operate like a freaking enterprise, but they don't. They operate like titanium cylinders of sub-excellence. Now, there's a reason for the different services in terms of functional domain expertise, meaning operating on land, operating in sea, operating in space. But the most important domain, the cognitive domain, the domain of the human mind, encompasses and operates in all those different domains, the cyber domain, the ground terrestrial domain, the subsea and surface domains. And when we go to war kinetically, we operate across all those domains simultaneously. But because our DoD and intelligence community was built in the industrial age, their culture and structures remain stuck in the industrial age, not the information age. China and Russia have overhauled their national security apparatuses and have integrated them much more fully. For the United States, by 2035, we should have one military service, one Department of Defense enterprise with separate functional domain expertise embedded within each of the sub-organizational elements, but not laid out as separate services as we have today. That's suicide. Now think about this. In the cognitive war, cognitive human mind, influence, operations, asymmetric warfare, unrestricted warfare, all include some sort of kinetic options as well, but kinetics is not the primary aspect. And so why did we lose all the wars since World War II? Because we didn't understand the cognitive domain. We didn't understand the cognitive war, the war for absolute power. We had some capabilities during the whole Cold War, but those went away because of the so-called peace dividend. Day we declared the Cold War won, we lost it because we lost our capabilities to operate and compete in the cognitive war. But the DoD should only have one service by 2035. This JADC2 or communication structures and all these other big programs to try to integrate the DoD and such, no, it has to be much more dramatic. They have to culturally attack the old culture of the Department of Defense, much like Eisenhower and Marshall did at the start of World War II. Take all those generals who are now woke, who are tied to their horses and cavalry, like those in World War I going into World War II, those now tied to the industrial age, okay, and fire them, get rid of them, clean house. And in doing so, then take a look at the proper structure and policies to put in place. Because there's a cultural formula that applies here. People plus process plus policy equals culture. So you have to take a look at the core functions that the Department of Defense really performs, align those core functions in a manner to optimize the efficiencies across all operating domains, then take and staff the appropriate expertise against those functions and make sure the proper policies are in place to enable them to operate in all domains simultaneously. The application of the cultural formula is critical. But unless we move to one service by 2035, we will continue to fail in every single war we have. Why? Because we compete more against ourselves than we do against our adversaries as we operate in titanium cylinders of sub-excellence. Now, the same thing applies to the intelligence community. The intelligence community needs a complete shakeup and split up. It's been weaponized. It's been politicized. It's been ongoing now for 4+ decades. As I mentioned before, Bill Gates in his book From the Shadows speaks to how the CIA is basically a left-wing organization, leftist intent, and why. But it's been subverting conservatives for decades. And we've seen other things the CIA have done, including spying on members of Congress under John Brennan. And so, in spying on American people with Jim Clapper lining up about it in open hearings to the American people, to Congress. In neither case was there accountability. That's another matter. But the split up and mix up of the intelligence community is critically important because they use the term classified to hide behind a variety of nefarious actions, not only against our foreign adversaries, which are good to do, but they use that classified notion to hide their actions against we, the American people. As you've seen right now, Christopher Wray can be held in contempt of Congress. Why? Because he's hiding documentation related to the corruption of President Biden. So what we have to do with the intelligence community, we have to split them into 2 or 3 different organizations and mix them up For example, all source intelligence takes place at the CIA, at the DIA, certain amount of NGA, certain amount of NSA. Those organizations should be broken apart and all the all source put into one organization and functionally aligned to make sure that we are covering every region of the world appropriately. It should take the human intelligence aspects from CIA, DIA, and merge them together into a new clandestine intelligence agency, a different CIA. They should take the same thing, signals intelligence aspects from those different organizations, from NSA, DIA, CIA, merge those things as well. But as they merge these organizations and drive all source, drive signals intelligence, drive human intelligence and other aspects together in different ways, they need to take a look at what functionally is going to be the most appropriate to then assure the desired outcomes we want as a nation. And based on the functions, then take and move the appropriate people there. And in terms of moving the appropriate people there, then get rid of the miscreants in the process. Decrease the size of the Department of Defense, decrease the size of the intelligence community, because the bureaucracies have grown fat like ticks on a blood-sucking on their host called America. So we need to split up, shake up, enroll the intelligence community in a dramatic manner, including the ODNI and other aspects. The ODNI, when originally stood up, was well-intended. It's been corrupted now. My last three or four directors been corrupted, been publicized. So we need to overhaul the factory floor and need to get rid of the politicization, because the majority of the people in the intelligence community are true patriots and serve honorably every single day and uphold their oath of office. But the leadership and the embedded ticks at the top have upset that. So besides completely overhauling the Department of Defense, do the same thing with the intelligence community. And then don't forget about energy, state. Okay, because State Department, my God, State Department is one of the most bureaucratic organizations I've ever worked with and in. The layers of bureaucracy there are all to self-protect the different bureaus within the bureaucracy, but not operate together. Every single piece of paper that goes out that building has to go across basically all the different bureaus to be blessed off on. It's just such an antiquated, ancient. And people say, well, we need that because of the diplomatic process, BS. The Department of State is an industrial age dinosaur. And just like the old model dime, defense, information, military, and economics, that model's dead as well. So is the State Department. And it needs to be upended and overhauled and integrated, because the information the State Department has is critical to operate and win in the cognitive war that's ongoing. But it's not provided. Why? Because they protect the bureaucracy and they hold the information unto themselves, much like the intelligence community does, much like the Department of Defense does. So in overhauling the national security apparatus, that's why it's the most important thing to do day number one. Because you've seen what this apparatus did to the Trump administration. It played him like a fiddle. And it spit them out. And it's still doing the same thing now, 8 years later on. It's amazing. Another aspect we need to take a look at, I won't go into much detail here, but you have to sort of follow me here a little bit. Take control of the key communication systems. Remember the leaks of General Flynn and others? How do you think those leaks occurred? Who controlled the communications? Who controls the communications out of the Office of Director of National Intelligence, the White House, the intelligence community? Who controls those? Who controls the HR departments at the DOD, state, and other places? In my book, I go into this more detail, but what the candidates need to pay attention to are the critical but boring stuff. Because it's the critical but boring stuff like communications, HR systems, HR policies, civil service system policies that most leaders don't want to deal with. But that's how the bureaucracy operates. That's how the ticks over the last 5 to 6 decades have embedded on the host called America and continue to suck the blood of freedom dry. While the majority of the bureaucrats work to keep America alive, the ticks at the top are sucking it dry and killing off America slowly. So besides taking a hold of key communication systems, which is all saying that, they need to overhaul the civil services and reward system. The civil service system was built again in the industrial age, not in the information age. The civil service system was built using the titanium cylinders of sub-excellence model, the stovepipe model. And people are rewarded in each of these bureaucracies for what? Growing and securing and keeping the bureaucracy alive. Not bettering it and getting rid of it if it's no longer necessary. No, no. It's about keeping the host alive so the ticks can continue to feast on the blood. So you need to overhaul this complete civil service system and reward system, because right now the reward system rewards those who control information, power, people, and budgets. Information, power, people, and budgets. There is no advantage, okay, unless that reward system changes. And in the civil service system, they need to start by changing the terms of every single government employee, no more than 3 years in the same organizational division or branch, no more than 5 years in the same department. They need to start moving them around because they need to get rid of the embedded ticks, which then grow their feast there and live there to undermine administrations. Lastly, candidates, prepare your lawyer set and prosecute. Nothing focuses the mind greater than a public hanging. Durham can't prosecute. His bosses are corrupt. They decline. The president, you'll see, the cases are never reopened. So the new administration must plan to prosecute. U.S. Title 18 under U.S. Code I spoke about gives you all you need to hear. So, America, I hope you're listening. Canada, I hope you're listening. I'm here on the National Security Hour to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. I will go outside the fog of the daily chaos to give you a strategic perspective on national security issues and speak truth to power, the power of we the people, so we together can best ensure the resilience and security of our republic. Thanks for joining us on the mission. The National Security Hour is the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America.